Hello, what is going on? Hey guys, welcome to Tuesday. Excited to get started with today's content and open up for questions. just as a reminder, I'm going to go over a few things before we get started. Just kind of recap some of the main points in this week's tutorial. Check in with you guys on how you're doing from last week's content. Hopefully raise your hand if you have watched the first tutorial. So not the one that went out yesterday, the very first tutorial all about content strategy. Awesome. So you guys are tagging me in your posts. Super awesome. Thank you for doing that. Instagram lives, you guys are doing Instagram TVs, you're doing Instagram mini trainings, tagging me on that stuff. Super, super awesome. The ones I've seen so far have been hugely useful. And I'd be interested to know, like, when we open it up for questions, let me know how they've been received, what's been going on. Are you getting people, you know, saying that they're liking the content? If you have not gotten that, you probably want to ask people, do they want to see more of that? So if you're doing Instagram mini trainings, a couple of you guys have done a couple this week. Again, one big epic piece of content, maybe once per week. So Instagram TV, Instagram Live, Instagram mini trainings, at least one time per week. And then ask people, do you like this content? Do you want to see more of this content? Should I do this? You know, do you want 1 to 3 a week? Do you want 4 to 6 a week, right? You can do polling and stuff like that. So we've talked about this a little bit, but every time you put, and I want to just reiterate this because I think it's really important that you guys are putting, doing your Instagram mini trainings, you want to make sure that you're writing something on each one of the slides, right? So there's ways for them to engage. So for example, if you're talking head, sometimes if it's just you and there's nothing for them to engage with, they're just going to like tap right on by, or they're going to swipe out, and that's okay. Like, the whole point isn't to have everyone stay every single time, right? If the content is relevant to them, they'll stay and watch, but there should be ways, places, when I say engage, I mean where their eyes go. So are they reading the content? Is there a poll there? Is there like a little swipe thing they can do? Like, what? Is there a GIF somehow? Is there something that they can engage with that's going to keep them engaged with the post so that there's a better chance, a better likelihood of them actually going through and watching the story? So everyone has that. Hopefully you guys have watched that. Second tutorial came in yesterday, all about one-on-one offer creation. So raise your hand if you were able to watch it. Some of you guys. Okay, awesome. So it's not super long. There are slides there. Remember, I'm going to keep saying this every single week, that the only way you can fail is by disengaging. So I don't expect you guys to have watched it already. It was just yesterday. So that's why every 2 weeks you have plenty of time to watch the tutorial. This week is all about offer creation. So raise your hand if you feel like you already have a one-on-one offer that you have either put out there or you've worked on or you've had a couple clients with. Raise your hand if you kind of already have something in place. Awesome. So hopefully the tutorial kind of helped you get clear on what exactly you're offering. We're going to talk a lot more in the coming months about how you're marketing it. Okay, great, Jill. I have this application. Awesome. How do I drive traffic to it? How do I get people to click on it? How do I get people excited about it? But first and foremost is you have to have an offer. So you guys are putting out content, you're building trust, you need to have somewhere to send them to. So top of the line, just to reiterate, when people ask me, what should I give them? Like, what do they get, right? I want you to think from the top of your head, like, what do people actually need? I think sometimes we think, oh, well, there's, you know, you do a phone call every week, or you do a phone call once a month or whatever. I want you guys thinking, okay, because remember, the price point, whatever the investment is, whatever the price point or the cost of the coaching is, can be commensurate with how much effort and customization and access you're giving them, right? So if you're like, I don't have that much time, Jill, I only want to do one phone call a month, cool, the price point might be a little bit lower. If you're like, you know what, I really, you know, I know that some of you guys know exactly who your ideal client is. You know, for example, if someone has 50 pounds to lose, right, they probably need to be prescribed maybe a year with you. So feel free to think outside the box. There's not one single way to do this. You can offer 3-month coaching. You can offer 6-month coaching. You can offer year-long coaching. I want you guys to feel free to think to myself, okay, if this person really has this goal, what is that actually going to take? And if you get on the phone with someone or you're in a DM conversation with someone, feel free to prescribe what you as the expert thinks they need. I don't recommend doing less than 3-month commitment. I think sometimes we get scared and we go, well, we'll just do a month. And then we'll see how we do. I mean, I think most of us believe that there's really not much we can get done with someone in a month, right? Like, again, there's like certain levels of engagement or interaction that we need for that transformation. And I think you're doing them a disservice if you say, it's only a month because you're scared to tell them that it's 3 months and that they have to have a higher commitment. I get why we do that, but I recommend, and you can do this when you're talking to someone either in a DM capacity or, and we'll talk a lot more about sales, you guys, so don't stress about it. You're not supposed to know like how to sell on a call. We're going to talk about that. But really, I want you to think about sales as an energetic thing, right? So right now, you guys are fine. Like, could you use more clients? Sure. But right now you're fine, right? So I want you going into any sales conversation, any DM conversation, any phone conversation, knowing and acting as if you don't need the sale, okay? Acting as if you don't need the sale. Even though you might be like, Jill, I really do need the sale because I need to fucking pay my bills. I get it. But you have to act like you're the one picking them and you're the one prescribing what they need, because you guys, you are the expert, aren't you? Like, you're the one who knows, okay, I have all this, all these credentials, I have these certifications, I have these, this experience. Remember, people just want to feel taken care of. So I want you pretending or acting as if, not even pretending, but acting as if you've done it a million times. You need to make these people feel super safe. Like, I got you. And even if maybe you haven't done a lot of online coaching or any online coaching, that's totally cool. You're not supposed to, but you need to pull from your experience in person. You need to pull from your personal training clients, your, you know, your clinical experience in the gym, maybe or even personal transformation. You need to pull a confidence from that and project it online. So the reason why I like to start people with one-on-one coaching is because it's like the first iteration out of the gym. It's pretty easy. You don't need a ton of materials, right? You don't need to have like an online portal with a password and stuff like that. You don't need to have an app. You don't need to have any of that. You can literally do it super low tech. That's the reason why I like it. It's just like one step out of the gym, for example. Maybe some of your first one-on-one distance clients might be people who used to train with you but moved away. Or a friend of someone who trains with you in person but doesn't live local, or someone who you know on the internet but doesn't live local, right? So it's really just the simplest version. And because it's so highly customized, you don't need to have a lot of materials because everyone's different, right? So you'll know what they need once you get on the phone with them or once they fill out your initial questionnaire, or your initial intake form or something like that. You're like, okay, this person, you know, has a goal to lose 20 pounds. They have these injuries. They have these time constraints or the schedule constraint. So you're going to get that information, and I'll share with you guys in the closed Facebook group, the intake form that we used to use at Jill Fit. So in case you guys don't have one, that's an example of one. Feel free to just grab that. It's kind of just a kind of a catch-all for people. If you have one, that's great. You can share that in the group for everyone if you want to. But this would be a general intake form. So you're asking them things like, you know, injuries, schedule, maybe a 3-day diet journal, right? Like, you're getting them to kind of give you a snapshot of where they currently are. And then from there, you go, cool, I can see based on this that what's the first thing, what's the first order of business? First order of business, getting you training consistently. This is just an example, right? So we're not going to layer on a ton of nutrition stuff. We're not going to layer on all this stuff. We're just going to get you, this would be an example, training consistently. How confident on a scale from 1 to 10 are you that you can commit to 3 days a week at the gym or 3 days a week in the home workout? And they're like, oh, 9 out of 10. Okay, cool. Awesome. Let's start there, right? So you guys, I don't need to tell you how to coach. You guys are experts at this. But that would be an example of where you would start someone. And then once they get good at that, cool, now we can layer on nutrition, whatever. So with one-on-one coaching, it's so customized that you don't have to, and you probably shouldn't have a ton of materials. When I say materials, I mean like you don't need like, you know, educational videos and stuff like that. We'll get to that when we get to course creation. But for right now, you need to have how often you're speaking to them. What type of access are they getting? So are you doing phone calls with them? Are you doing Marco Polo? Are you doing Voxer? Like, what's the best way? And think from the top of your head, like, what does this person need to be successful? And you're like, okay, they probably need to get on phone me once a week, and they need Voxer access 24/7, and they want email access. Okay, once that's in place, you guys can go, okay, what can I really put up with? What am I willing to do? And then you're like, I'd like to do, and I know myself, I suck at email. So when people are like, can I email you stuff in between our calls? I'm like, no, because I just won't look at it. And that's not to say like, it's just like, there's other ways that we can communicate. Or if it's not that, I can adjust my prices to the level of access that I'm giving, right? So you can always increase your price or decrease your price based on the level of access you're giving. Then most importantly is, how are you positioning this thing? You guys know, raise your hand if you know your ideal client. You know who this person is. You've written out the before and after. You know what kind of transformation they want to make. Good. And we're still kind of tweaking that a little bit, but I think you guys are pretty clear on that. So then you can speak with conviction about the transformation that you're going to help them facilitate. I'm not great at this stuff, but if you want this, I'm your gal, right? It's very important that you know the transformation you're the best at facilitating, and it's equally important that you know what you don't do. Like, I don't do that, right? You want to be a power lifter? Cool. Like, I can help you get a little stronger, but I don't know that shit. That's not me, right? You want to get up on stage? Cool. That's fine. I'm not the best at that, though. You know, whatever that is, and it doesn't mean that if someone slides into your DMs and asks you that you can't take them on, but your front-facing content will never be about that stuff. For example, at JillFit, I don't work with men, right, in business coaching, right? I work primarily with women, and that's who I market to. And then sometimes I'll have dudes send me a DM and they're like, hey, do you do business coaching? And I'm like, yeah, we can talk about it. Let's get on the phone and see what you need. I may or may not take them on as a client, but I'm certainly not going to bring them into FBA, right? Because it just changed dynamics. So you have to kind of know where your lines in the sand are. And then when you market your one-on-one coaching, it is extremely important that you declare what you're the best at. So the services posts, I don't want you guys to be apologetic about that. You put your stake in the ground, you know what you're the best at, and don't be apologetic about talking about that. Here's why I'm the best at fat loss coaching. Here's why I'm the best at getting you consistent. Here's why I'm the best at mobility and corrective exercise. Here's why I'm the best at, right? And I don't do the other stuff. I mean, even though you could technically, right? If you're in the gym, maybe someone comes to you and wants to do powerlifting meet, and you're like, cool, we'll figure it out together. But you don't advertise that. So I want you guys to get very clear, and I think I mentioned this last week, if I didn't already, and this is going to be an ongoing kind of thing that we're going to tease out, is if you were to pitch yourself to a podcast, okay, if you were to pitch yourself to a podcast, how would you pitch yourself? Oh, Jill, she's the one with I go to her for, right? So get extremely clear on like one single, and I know we talked about I help statements, and I help statements are great, but sometimes they're really vague, right? I help women get more consistent with their eating and balance their life and feel better and feel stronger, right? Like these kind of like nebulous thing, like outcomes. I want to be like, okay, stake in the ground. I'm the best at this. One of my clients in my mastermind, Ashley Fillmore, started with me about a year and a half ago. And for like the first little bit, she was really kind of like, I help people with all these different things. Cause she came out of the gym, right? She was a full-time personal trainer. And like most of us who do that, we have we're a jack of all trades. We just do whatever the client wants. And we're kind of at the mercy of the gym and in the local area. Cool. So she came in, it took her a little bit of time. And I would say probably about 8 months ago, I asked her, I was like, what are you the best at? Like, what's the thing? And she goes, I'm the person who people come to when nothing else has worked. Like, that's your bio, right? That's your thing. I'm the person people come to when nothing else has worked. I am so good at transformations. Anyone I sign up loses fat, loses inches. I'm the best at getting fat off people. And I'm like, cool. And she doubled down on fat loss, you guys. And now she's like, literally has a pretty small audience. I would say maybe 1,000 followers or something, maybe 1,000 subscribers on her email list, making six figures on the internet. So you do not need a huge audience. You just need to be crystal clear on what you're the best at. So when you talk about your one-on-one coaching, I want you to talk about what exactly you help people with. What is the thing that you do? Okay. And then we had we just went over some basic kind of tactical stuff, like just some software and stuff. I gave you guys a couple of options. You can have a Google Doc. You can use Jotform. You can use Typeform. I think there's a small fee, like an annual fee for some of these things, but you guys can create custom applications on those. If you don't want to use Google Doc, I don't think there's a fee for that. So having people fill out some basic, and I gave you guys some examples in the tutorial of like sign up forms or application forms you guys can go to. And then you want to put that in your bio, right? So use like a Bitly or something like that to make it a little prettier, and then put that on your bio. And then if that's the only thing you have to offer people, then when you're talking about your services, the call to action is go to the link in my bio and apply to work with me, or send me a message and I'll give you all the details. Or if you relate to this, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a quick message, right? So don't be afraid. You can put as many calls to action as you want. It doesn't always have to be apply, 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 right? We can all get a little fatigued on that. It can be send me a message. I'd love to hear from you. Drop it below, drop an emoji. Like it can be, but you do want to have a call to action every single post. So it doesn't need to be work with me, apply, right? It doesn't have to be that formal, but you do want to have a call to action every single post, even if it's just like drop an emoji below or give me your 2 cents below, or do you agree, leave a thumbs up, right? Just to get them to take action. Don't stress if no one does. I could see people are already like, well, what if no one leaves a comment? Then it looks stupid. No, it doesn't look stupid. No one cares. Next, like next, right? What's the next post? Post to move. But what it does is it starts to get people used to engaging with you. This is training the click. So when you're asking people, leave an emoji below, send me a message, you know, drop a thing below, drop a comment. And then when you actually go to sell, like say you create a course and you go to sell, people are used to doing stuff. They're used to clicking on stuff. They're used to going places. People need direction. Go over here, click on this, you know, leave a message here, direct, like be very specific in what you want people to do. Don't just say, let me know what you think, right? They're like, where do I let you know what I think? And give me some direction on that. So your calls to action are consistent. I would say send people to your application a minimum of one time per week, but you can also do it more than that. Okay. And if you're sharing a personal story of yours and it's a highly emotional story, that is like golden. People are like, I need this. Just like this hit me so hard. I need whatever you've got. So it's been said that if we can communicate the thing that someone is struggling with better than they can. So for example, a comment you might get would be, oh my God, you're in my head. You're in my head. What you said is just like, that's exactly how I feel. If we can communicate how someone feels better than they can, they automatically believe we have a solution. Okay, I'm gonna say that again. If we can communicate the thing that someone's struggling with better than they can, articulate it better than they can, they automatically think you have a solution. And you do, right? Coaching with you is the solution. So when I say articulate, I mean, if you tell your story, and this is really important, you guys, when you're telling your stories, and you'll get better at it the more you practice, the more specific the story, the more universal it becomes. So if I talk about, you know, my dad, you automatically think of your dad, right? And so you want to be as specific as you possibly can. I swear to God, sometimes when I write things online, I'm like, no one is going to relate to this. This is so specific to me. This is so like new. It's so like specific to me. It's so detailed. And honestly, those are when I get the biggest responses. Oh my God, you're in my head. It's the exact thing happened to me, right? So the more specific the story, the more universal it ends up becoming. So don't worry about that. Just try and be as specific. But if you're vague in your storytelling, there's not going to really have any traction. Okay. So that's where the vulnerability piece comes out, because here's the thing. You guys might have to think back to when you used to struggle. Maybe you don't anymore. Remember, your ideal client is a previous version of you, most likely, so they're probably in your before picture. So you have to think back, yeah, what was I doing back then? Well, how was I going through my day back then? What was my mindset at that time? What was I doing? And you have to access those old memories and then share those things, because that's where your current people are right now. Make sense? Okay, so this is getting into a little bit of a marketing conversation, but this week and next week, very, very clear homework. I want you to write out what your offer is, what the one-on-one coaching looks like. And I know some of you guys aren't doing one-on-one. Like, for example, I know Amy has a course or program that she's doing. Like, I know you guys have, some of you guys have different offerings. But if you're starting from scratch and you don't have an offer, I want you to start with one-on-one coaching again, because it's the easiest first iteration of the gym, number one. And number two, it's the most money per time, right? You're going to make the most money. It's the highest ticket. And number three, you probably already have people in your circle who would pay it. Because remember, we're in the trust business, right? So I don't care if you get a stranger who, you know, comment, you know, if you get a couple strangers on social media, you get a couple strangers, you know, reaching out to you, amazing, but maybe they're not warm yet, right? They're intrigued, they're interested, they're following. Remember I told you a follow is a first date. Cool, let me check out what Simone has. I'm going to follow, give it a try. So if you get a follow, amazing, first date. Now it's your job to warm them up. Right? So your content, and by the way, when I say it's your job, I just mean put out your best content and let the chips fall. Don't stress about it. Don't be like, I don't want unfollows. Like, you can't play defense. You have to just put out your best work and let it be good enough. And then the person gets warmed up. So very rarely, I would say maybe 5% of the time, we have someone who just started following us and will give us money. 95% of the time, they follow us, follow, consume, and then at some point, finally, purchase. So what I mean by that is you probably already have people in your inner circle that you know, who who know you, like you, trust you, that would be willing to give you money for one-on-one coaching. They just don't know you do it. So the services post will definitely help with that. And now you have a place you can send people, right? So you can send them to the application. You can send them to message you in a DM. You can send them to, you know, send you an email. You can send them to a closed Facebook group if you have one. But all of those things will end hopefully in a sale because there's a lot more FaceTime, right? If you're in a DM conversation, awesome, a lot more FaceTime. If you get on the phone with someone, great, a lot more FaceTime, right? So email, a lot more FaceTime. That, and so we're getting people off these big platforms and into like a more of a conversation with you. Okay. So we'll talk about sales and how to handle different DMs. You guys might get people who are responding to your stories, but they're not being like, can I coach with you? Right. That would be great. That'd be ideal. But most people are like, awesome content. And you're like, cool, Jill, what do I do with that? Right. And you're like, okay, do I sell that person? Like, what do I do? So we're going to talk about some different scenarios based on kind of the feedback that you're getting. Good. Okay. Make sense. Okay. So by next week, by next Tuesday, make sure you do as much as you can. It's very easy. Just outline your one-on-one offer and put your application together. And if you have specific questions about your application questions, we can talk about those today or we can talk about them next week. But you have 2 weeks to do that. Good? Awesome. Okay, you guys, let's go ahead and open up for questions. Unmute yourself if you want to go. Let's see. We have Joe. Do you want to go first, Joe? I saw you had your hand up.
A couple quick questions. So with my online coaching offer, so I was really excited about this. So I went ahead and made some notes last night. So I finally nailed down my ideal client. So I really want to work with women who want to build their strength mentally, physically, the physical piece and the mindset piece. So really thinking about, they would get a weekly workout. And then they would also be given a mindset exercise to complete every single week. Okay. Communication with me through Marco Polo.
Okay.
And then also during that call or that talk through Marco Polo, we would review their workouts for the week, if they need any modifications. And then also reviewing their food log and reviewing their exercise.
Awesome.
The number one thing that I was thinking about with this is kind of my current circle are my clients. I am currently working in a big box gym.
Cool.
I don't necessarily want to convert those clients to one-on-one clients.
Yep.
So that's kind of where I'm struggling with this. I love it, but I'm really nervous that I'm going to have a lot of those clients want to apply and leave the gym and come work with me, and then I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah. So first of all, you're always in charge of that, right? So if a client reaches out to you, here's one thing that I would do for you guys who do have clients in the gym. This is just a side note about a retention. All of your clients in the gym, put them in a closed Facebook group. And so long as they keep training with you, they get access. And in there you drop recipes, different articles you think they might like, book recommendations, like just give them a ton of value so they want to keep training with you, right? So that's what I would do. Like if I can go back, and I think Facebook groups weren't a thing when I was a personal trainer, but like I would just take all my clients at one time I had, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 clients, and I'd stick them all in a closed Facebook group. And you know what, in my experience, in-person clients don't do any online shit. Like just, they're just so different for whatever reason. So I wouldn't worry about that. And so remember, you always have, someone comes to me and is like, this sounds amazing. Be like, cool, as one of my in-person clients, you have access to this and like, you know, we can figure out something, or you can upsell them onto like just a nutrition package or something like that. But I, you know, don't worry about that. I think most people bump over. So to answer your question about where do I find the new people then, is can you, Facebook personal pages is like golden for this. So if, because remember when Facebook like started and we'd friend everybody from like high school and stuff, like,
yeah.
There are, so that's where I would probably start.
Is
okay. You probably already have like on your friends list some just random people who just don't know that you do that.
Yeah. And I've been avoiding sharing a lot of my Instagram content onto my Facebook because of some of those people. But I think I just need to rip that Band-Aid off, because you're right, there's a lot of really great potential people that are there.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, remember, it's not just about you selling them. It's like them getting healthier. So like, that's what I was thinking. I'm just like, yeah, they're sitting there like struggling and like needing a resource. They already know you. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm not letting some random internet trainer get access to these people. Like I already have a relationship with them. I'm the one who's going to get this business. So yes, also, and I think we had this conversation a little bit with Leah over the last couple of weeks, is like, just like go all in. Your social media is your business, right? It doesn't mean you can never share a picture of your dog or your family or whatever. It's just like now it's like 90% is your business. So yeah, I think let's do it. And just do a big like announcement post. Be like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I'm going this new direction. You know, just so you know, you're going to be seeing more content around this. I mean, people are going to be super supportive.
Perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. Love it. Simone, do you want to go?
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Okay, couple questions for you. So for my offer, well, before I go through that, like when you ask the question about the podcast pitch, it's like, what are you known for? Like my whole thing is like the savvy scientist. Like I help women discover the savvy scientist within them so they can feel sexy, savvy, and strong. But is that like too nebulous? Like the, because my brand is sexy, savvy, strong, like sexy body, savvy mind, strong soul.
Yep.
But I'm like, is that too much for people to like wrap their head around, or can they like envision that and they're like, oh my God, I want to feel sexy, savvy, and strong. Like my ideal client is a very smart professional woman. She makes great money. She's very motivated. She like has her shit together. But when it comes to her health and fitness, she's not as committed compared to like her career and her other priorities. And like, that's the one piece that like she's neglecting is like her self-care and like being her best self. So I feel like I have so many tools to get her not only like physically in good shape, but like mentally and like the inner work too. So do you think that's too much? Like when I think of like the podcast pitch and like who I'm talking to, like is it too wide of like a net, or is that pretty niched?
So I actually don't think it's either. I think it's just too cute, to be honest. Like, I think it's a little too cute. And what I mean by that is like, I like you being, pinning yourself as the savvy scientist.
Yeah.
I think that's tractionable. So for example, there's a Food Babe. You guys know Food Babe? Like whatever. So that's kind of like cute too, right? It's like, oh, the Food Babe, you know, maybe you know her name, maybe you don't. So I like, okay, I'm Simone. I'm the savvy scientist, like AKA the savvy scientist. But then there requires some education there. I'm like, cool, what is that?
Yeah.
What is a savvy scientist, right? So like that means, okay, so then you can say, that's me where the tagline comes in. I help, you know, high achieving women figure out what's going to work for them long-term when it comes to their exercise, you know, nutrition and lifestyle, whatever it is, right? Like, so define what savvy scientist means to you. So I think it's cute as like a, like I could introduce you on a podcast, like, oh my God, we have Simone and she's the savvy scientist. Tell us what that is. Right. That could be like a way. So I like the idea that like, you're the savvy scientist. That's cute. But, and then you can say, I help my clients become savvy scientists too, by doing X, Y, Z. So it just requires a little bit more education. I don't think it stands alone.
Okay. So like, at first, like I position myself as the savvy scientist, but then I empower them to become their own savvy scientists.
Right. By doing.
Right. Weight training, sustainable nutrition, and mindset work, or whatever, however I phrase it.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And then like for my offer, like because right now I train my clients at a private gym, like my current one-on-one clients, like with filming and stuff in LA, like it's so hard to find a gym. Like say if I was to write out a weight training or a strength training program for a woman, right? To go in the gym and do like 3 full body exercises and like demonstrate how to do those exercises. I'm like, oh shit. Like, I don't know if I can get access to that. And I feel like that's kind of a barrier for me. Mm-hmm. So many gyms like kick you out if you try to film. Business purposes and like monetization and whatnot. So I'm like, maybe should I lead with like nutrition coaching like for now, and then like I have like dumbbells in my apartment, like, and tell them like just to get started, I can write them up like at home workouts. Like I'm just trying to be creative and not have these barriers like hold me back from, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, this is a really good discussion because I think for a lot of us, there are little things like that that we like don't take into account. And we're like, oh yeah. So I'll tell you how I did it when I first got started before I was able to like I booked a gym and was able to, you know, do like a whole library of exercises, is I would just send people to links online And like, you can use something like, a lot of my clients use Trainerize. There are some like already written out. I mean, and if you guys have other like little platforms that maybe you use with your clients, Trainerize is one that a lot of my clients use because they do have generic little work, like people working out. So you could use that. Or like literally you could just find a YouTube video of, I don't know, whatever the movement is, and just send them the URL to the YouTube. Like, it's not ideal because it's not your own content, but like, again, it's a way to just get started low tech. Yeah. Bodybuilding.com also, bodybuilding.com has a library of free exercises. You can pull from that. Those are photos. They're not videos. But, you know, like, until you can get your own library together, I think it's totally fine. And then, yeah, Jo said she's used Pinterest in the past. There's plenty out there. It's just, again, like, you don't want to, like, build someone else's business, you know? So, like, eventually we do want to get your own library. And I would suggest, you know, approaching a gym and then seeing what the filming is like, or seeing if there's a way that you can rent out, like, for example, at a CrossFit gym. I know maybe it doesn't have all the equipment that you want, but a CrossFit gym, you know, would be maybe able to accommodate you on like a Sunday afternoon when they don't have classes, or it's closed, or during open gym time or something like that, and you can just pay. So yeah, in the meantime, you can also, if it's a dumbbell exercise, just do it in your apartment. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Because yeah, I feel like these little questions come up and it's like, oh my God, like, you know, I never fall short on ideas. It's the execution of them that I'm like, oh shit, like, how am I going to put this thing together?
Mm-hmm. So there's some great comments down in the comment section too. It looks like there's True Coach and then Nassim and Ace. Wow. So this is a lot. There's a lot of free resources. So it looks like, and I think True Coach you have to pay for, but, and Trainerize you have to pay for as well.
Okay.
But I think Trainerize is like $10 a client or something, or I don't know what it is. So you could just absorb that cost into their enrollment fee.
Okay, perfect. But okay, so one more thing. So getting back to the first question. Yeah. Do you think I should go like with the savvy scientist and just run with it, define it, ground it? Because it is very simple. Yeah. We have to look at science, but we have to look at bioindividuality too. Like, there's certain things in science that you can't like counter, like the law of thermodynamics. Like, no matter what, like, that's a thing. You know what I mean? But like, the bioindividuality is like, okay, well, what works for you might not work for me. Like, if I like high carb and like you don't, and I do well on high carb, like, I can sustain that and it keeps me like getting my goals. You know what I mean?
So you could say something like, you know, you could say like evidence-based trainer taking you into consideration or something like that, right? Where you're showing that there's like a science physiology component, biochemistry component, but also we like the bioindividuality, right? So like, you could, so yes, I think run with it. I think double down on it and just be like, cool, that's just like, it's synonymous with your name. It's like, oh, is that the sexy set? Like, I mean, I know for Jill Fit, it's easy because it's partially my name, but like, people literally just like are like, oh, you're Jill Fit? And like, yeah. So like, it should be synonymous with your real name. If you can get it there, then you know you have traction.
Okay. And I just feel like the whole evidence-based thing, I'm like, shit, like, I don't have like a PhD. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do a lot of continuing education, but I'm like, am I an evidence-based coach? Even though I don't have a PhD, but I study this stuff all day long.
Like, I mean, what is evidence-based? I mean, like, evidence-based, like, you don't need to know like a biochemistry book by verbatim. You have your own clinical experience, right? So that's evidence-based. The evidence is the 100 clients I've worked with in the last 5 years, right? Like, that's evidence. Yeah. So it's not that you need to be like, I'm on the latest and greatest research path, but it's like evidence-based, like what clinically works. So that's, you know, and then you know the science. And I know what your credentials are. You're plenty credentialed. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I think most of us do feel like, oh shit, we're going to get called out. Someone's going to like, you know, call us out. It's like, remember, your experience can never be wrong, right? You had a client who got great fucking results. Like, sorry, that's real, right? That's valid.
Yeah. So. Thank you so much. That was so helpful.
Awesome. You got it. Thank you. Jack, you want to go?
Yeah.
Hi,
everybody. So I am kind of having an issue with niching down even. Do you say niche or niche?
I don't know. I think both are good.
I think it's one of those potato potato, but I'm not sure. So niching down, I am having trouble with doing that. So my idea was always like, I'm a plant-based lifestyle coach and I help people transition to a plant-based lifestyle and compassionate mindset. Anybody who's newly transitioning into veganism or wanting to eat more plant-based. But now after, you know, our trainings and stuff, I realized I need to get more specific. So I'm not really sure. I mean, working with teens would probably be great for the cause, but I'm done. Like, I'm tapped out. It's been 14 years of teaching eighth graders. So I'm, I want to move on.
I don't have any money.
What's that? I don't have any money. That's true. So I'm not going to do that, but I've like unofficially worked with, I'd say with teens, but I don't want to work with them. And then maybe women in their 40s to 60s and a parent, and one of my parents' friends who's, he's in his 60s. Yep. So I guess a few older people I've worked with, like officially, you know, I haven't charged, but, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out who my ideal client is.
So I think that that's actually very niche. I think even saying, cause you're not even saying like, I'm going to help you lose fat by eating a plant-based diet. You're like, I'm helping people transition from, you know, eating more animal protein to more plant-based or whatever. Right. So that to me is like, I'm you know, like you're a transition coach. Right. And so, because if you wanted to, you could get more goal oriented. So are you helping them with consistent healthy nutrition? Are you helping them with energy? Are you helping them, you know, feel, get better sleep, less stress? Like, you know, so you can think about, okay, I help people transition to more of a plant-based lifestyle and compassionate mindset. And I also help them, you know, be more consistent, make healthier choices, you know, but I think it's actually pretty niche. I think if you're going to, like, who is that person? The majority of those people are they in their 30s? Are they in their 40s? I mean, like, who do they have money or do they have disposable income? Like, who are they exactly?
I don't know. I guess it could be whoever I want it to be. I'm finding that probably people, I'd say maybe 30s in the earliest, but probably 40s and on, this is a whole new concept. Anybody's like a little younger, there's been veganism, vegetarianism, it's been a little more accessible, but maybe 40s and up, it's like, oh, I'm getting older, I want to be healthier, I need to think of chronic illness and my energy's low. So I feel like there's more of a market there.
That's awesome. You just said it.
So at 40s and up?
I mean, I don't know that you even need to put an age on it, to be honest. I just think that this person is probably a little bit more educated, a little bit more savvy, and they are thinking about getting older and wanting to be more healthy. And their maybe their doctor told them like, hey, you need to start eating more fruits and vegetables, right? Or something like that. And you need to, you know, get off the like meat and potatoes diet. And like, you need to, you know what I mean? So probably they're probably going to be 40 plus anyway, because they're probably more thinking about long-term living longer and long-term health maybe. So, but I don't think you need to be like, I'm for 40 plus. I don't think you need to say that. I think you need to say, so just define, Jack, what outcomes you can deliver. Okay. Outcomes would be healthier, less risk for chronic disease, you know, consistent nutrition, like whatever that, whatever outcomes you can do. If you're not going to do like weight loss or you're not going to do strength building or, you know, physique change, then it needs to be in like, you know, feel better, look better, feel better, live longer, something like that.
That's what I'm promising. So that's, I was making up my list today and I have all these different things of like what people I've worked with, like I like unofficial clients. I don't know, 'cause they weren't paying clients. I don't know if I call them clients, but then things that they told me, you know, like off my blood pressure medication, lost 40 pounds, like all these amazing things. So I guess I would, how many things do I promise? Like how many goals would I?
I mean, three probably at a max, but even like, you know, one or two would be even better. What I think the kind of content that might work for you, I know we talked about this last week and, you know, you said you get a lot more traction on pictures of you than you do on food. I think food is always good because you're showing people what it looks like to be more plant-based. And that's always really informative, even though it doesn't get like as many likes as a picture of you looking beautiful. But it's like, I think for you, because you're helping people make that transition, I think infographics would do well for you. Like, so using something like Canva and showing like, instead of this 6 ounce chicken breast, do this instead, right? It's like, you could almost capitalize on like those, like this, instead of this, do that, instead of this, do that, like just to show people what it looks like, you know, that stuff like that would be, I think would be really tractionable on social media.
Canva is best for infographics.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then what if like, say I have screenshots of like former students messaging me like, oh my God, thank you so much. I love you. Can I still show that even though they're not my ideal client?
Yep, totally. Yeah, it's just a social proof, right? Just putting it into the social proof pile.
And I could say men and women. Does it have to be more specific?
I think if you're gonna market to both, you don't have to say either.
Okay, so I could say people?
People.
Okay.
Those who want, right? So you can say those who want, people who want. Yep.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
But I think it's plenty niched.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome. Let's go with Lauren.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I was hoping you could speak just quickly a little bit more about the process of responding to when someone initially fills out like a job form or application, if you want to call it that. And you may get to this, and if you're going to get to this in the future, then I'll just hold off. But if you're asking someone, if I'm asking someone to quickly fill out an application to work with me, then what's the best way to be efficient about responding and making that response really meaningful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, we will talk about this in the next tutorial, but I'll give you like just the Cliff Notes version. So if someone, remember, when people fill out the application, that's when they're the most hot, right? They're like the most hot. They're like in a, and it's weird, but I've seen a trend. People always fill that shit out at night. I don't know what it is, but like you'll wake up and you'll have applications in the morning. People get stressed, whatever. So you want to try and get back to them as soon as possible because again, like they're the most hot when they send it in. And when you respond back, you want to make reference to something that they said in the application. So you might say, you know, I see that you're struggling with XYZ. That's actually exactly what I do with my clients. Do you have a few minutes to chat? And then give them two time options. So you're not like, let me know when works for you, right? Like, it's like, hey, can you, I have 10 o'clock open and I have 4 p.m. open. Which one works best for you? Give them two options, not all the options, not a big time window. And you can just say, do you have a few minutes to chat at one of these time slots? Let me know. I also like, if you're having a DM conversation with this person, I like responding to them where you had the initial conversation. So on the application form, I would encourage you to include their Instagram handle and maybe their Facebook page as well, right? Because we know that over 90% of people open DMs, and what, how many people open emails? 25% maybe, if we're lucky, right? So there's a lot more pressure to respond to a DM because we can see if they read it, right? So we kind of want to put that like low-key pressure on them. So I'm a big fan of communicating wherever I had that initial conversation, but you can also email them too. Some people just prefer email. So I would do both. So if you had initial conversation, include their Instagram handle in the application because that's chances are maybe where they're seeing you or Facebook. And then reach out to them and say, hey, so-and-so, I got your application. It looks like you really could use help with this. I do have a couple of spots open for one-on-one coaching, but I would love to chat further to see if it's going to be a good fit. Can you talk at this time or this time? So remember, again, energy-wise, act like you don't need the sale. You're the one in charge. They should never be guessing what's happening. You should be the one who's like this. And again, act as if you've done it a million times. Cool. Yeah, this is exactly who I work with. This is exactly what I help people with. This is exactly what my clients need, whatever. And then, and it should be true, by the way. So for example, like it is something that you can help with. You want to make sure it's true. And then make it like the exclusivity language of, I have a couple of spots open. And I would even say to start February 1, right? So give them a date. Cool, I have a couple of spots open to start February 1st. Let me know if you want to chat further just to see if we can, you know, to make sure it's a good fit. Again, you should be the one picking them, not begging for business. Okay, you should be the one picking them, not begging for business, because right now you don't have that client anyway. So you're no worse off if it doesn't convert. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it helps a lot. Thank you. One more follow-up sure. question would be, yeah. So you're sort of managing, you're explaining what, so in the conversation that you have over the phone, you're explaining what is included in the service. Yep. And sort of managing expectations at that point. Yep. Do you think it's overkill to then, once they're on board, send a document that kind of goes over what's included just to sort of reiterate or cover my butt or something like that? Or is that overkill?
No, I don't think it is. So here's normally what I'd recommend, and we'll go into this a little bit more, because there's different levels of interest, right? If someone fills an application, that's the most interested, right? They know that they're going to get sold, right? It's like, cool. If they just respond to one of your stories and they're like, awesome content, keep it coming. You're like, what do I do with this person, right? Like, and so there's different scenarios, different levels of interest. But if someone fills an application, they know that at some point they're going to get sold to. Amazing. That's great. It's a great pre-qualifier. So when you get on the phone with them, we'll talk about this, but some of the questions you ask, very open-ended questions. The more you can get them sharing their struggles, their pain points, the things that they really need help with, the better. So you can say stuff like, cool, let me know, you know, what, like, tell me a little bit about your, you know, eating history or your exercise history. Cool. Floodgates open. We let them talk. Then we say, cool, you know, what have you tried in the past that maybe hasn't worked? Floodgates open. They tell you their entire history. Awesome. So, you know, for example, what would maybe in 3 months from now, what would success look like to you? Right. So you're asking them. So oftentimes I ask the same questions that are in the application. I literally just ask the exact same questions that are in the application on the phone. And then I, after all of that, listening, totally understand, right? You're just like egging them on, like, yep, totally get it. Yep, heard it a million times. And then you want to be like, and you want to repeat back to them what they said. So you can say, well, it sounds like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like you're doing really well when it comes to your exercise. Like, you have a good program, you're doing CrossFit, you know, you have like that kind of on lockdown. The thing that you struggle with the most is around your nutrition stuff, especially at night. And they're like, yeah, exactly. And you're like, cool, that's exactly, you know, that's exactly what I do with my clients. I can definitely help you with that. The turn is always when you say in a confident way, I can definitely help you with that. At some point you have to be able to say that. And so then you go, so if they're on a coaching call, they know they're going to get pitched. So you can say, so let me share with you how I work with clients. And that's the segue into now you talking, not listening, but telling them. So here's how it works. And then this is called future pacing. Future pacing is when you kind of already assume that they've signed up for you with you. So you'll say things like, we'll get on the phone every week, you know, when we work together, this, and this. You're not saying, if you decide to coach with me, right? We don't say that. We assume that they're a yes. And so we'll say, cool. So here's exactly how it works. You and I will jump on the phone and like make the assumption that they've already said yes. We'll jump on the phone once a week. And in between that, this is this and this and this will happen. And then you go through exactly kind of like what they get. You can tell them, okay, you know, I do a 3 month minimum only because in my experience, that's how long it takes for people to see a transformation, right? So remember, even if you haven't done this, you need to project the confidence, the conviction, and the competency that you have done it. And if you haven't done it online, you've definitely done it in person. So you have to project that. For a lot of us, it's the very first time we've learned how to sell, right? So it can feel a little scary. I want you guys to remember, there's no way you can fuck this up. I think sometimes we think like, oh my God, they're going to find out that I've never sold before. Like, they don't know. They don't know. Like, they're just listening to what you say. So just come with the confidence. And then the only thing that makes it a sale is when you say the price. Other than that, it's just information trading. It's just like, cool, you have this problem. Awesome. This is the help. This is the thing that I do. Does it match up or not? So the only part of it that's a sale is when you say the price. And then you say, so it's 3 month. It's a 3 month commitment. I have two pricing options. The first, if you want to pay in full, you can actually save about 20%. That's this. And if you want to finance, it's this per month. And then you shut the fuck up.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And we're going to go through that, but that would be ideal scenario, right? That would be like, I have an application, someone's super hot. They want a coach. They know I'm going to sell them, right? If it's not an application and it's like a DM conversation or something where they haven't asked you specifically about coaching, there's more nuance involved. And we'll talk about how you can handle that stuff too. That's more long tail. That's more like, cool, I'm just going to have a relationship with this person for a while. Here's the things that you can do consistently to kind of follow up with them and to keep tabs on them. But yeah, we'll talk about that more, but hopefully that's helpful for you guys. Awesome. Thanks, Lauren. Let's go with Gretchen.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Question. Is there any reason why you wouldn't mention what your programming looks like in, say, a post like, hey, I'm opening up coaching and it's going to be for 3 months. I don't know. Like, nobody's saying anything about putting any details ahead of a phone call or a DM. Can you do that or no?
Yeah, you can do that. I think so. I definitely don't want you to share the price because it's higher ticket. So you want the opportunity to have a conversation with them, even if it's in a DM, that's okay. And as you guys get better at this, and as you start driving more traffic, you'll start selling in the DM too. So if you're going to, I always think about it this way. If I'm going to share the details of my coaching or my program or whatever I'm doing, it still needs to be framed up in a marketing sense. So what I mean by that is, if I'm telling how I work, tell me why you work that way. I think that's so, that's totally fine to be like, so for example, you know, Simone might say, you know, my one-on-one coaching consists of this, this, and this. And the reason for that is because I found that most coaches don't help you figure out what works for you, and you tend to just disengage and you intend to not implement. So for me, I knew when I wanted to do coaching, I wanted to make this front and center of my coaching, right? So that's marketing language. That's not just factual statements. That's marketing language. So no reason that you can't do that. Just make sure that it's compelling. It needs to be like, this is the reason why I do this. Most coaches don't do this, which is why people continue to struggle, right? So we haven't really gotten to that yet, but when you're sharing, totally fine to share, especially if it's compelling, because if someone reads that and they're like, oh damn, that's awesome. Like, I've never experienced a coach like that. That's really cool. I'd really love to try that out. That's the response that we want to elicit. And that's, you know, kind of marketing. So does that make sense? So yes, share it, but then also put like the bells and whistles around about why it's different, why it's better, why you're going to guarantee success, et cetera.
Yeah, super helpful. Thank you.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah. Let's go with Laura.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
So I have a bunch of questions. So as you know, I took the leap a few years ago and tried to build my online business and then kind of pulled back. So my setup is kind of a mess. I have my Facebook profile from when Facebook first came out, 2003, back in the day. I have about 1,100 friends, quote unquote, in there. When I launched my first iteration of my online business, I created a separate Facebook profile under the same name, but dedicated solely to my health and fitness, because my 2003 profile had lots of fun college pictures on there that I didn't want anyone to see. So that's started in 2015, almost 12 years later, and I have more friends on there, 1,600 friends.
Okay.
On that Facebook profile, I created a Facebook page, which was my old company, Strong Fit by LC. And that's kind of where I was doing all my posts, all my engagement, and that's where I was pushing my brand.
Yep.
So I'm kind of at the point here. And so then also connected to that, I had a separate email, which doesn't really make sense. It has an Italian word in it, which doesn't translate in English. It just kind of looks dumb and stupid. So I was trying to like connect my heritage to that, but it just does not really work. So my question to you is, cancel one profile and tell everyone to Facebook message me on my original one with all my college stuff on it, and I can just like, you know, hide that stuff and then start a new page.
What would be, so like that second profile you made for business that has 1,600 friends, can we not double down on that only because the email thing?
No, we can. I just have more people from my core, from my high school, from my college,
okay,
on that original profile. And that's kind of where people are finding me on Instagram. It's like, I have two people that I went to high school with that I'm working with right now.
Okay.
So
why don't we post some content to both? And when I say post, I mean native posting, not like putting on one and sharing it over the other. I want you natively posting the same post on both pages, and let's see where the traction's at. And just do that for like a week.
Okay.
It's kind of a pain in the ass to do it all the time, but like, let's just for a week post the same content, not share it, but like from one to the other, just natively post on each page, and then let's see where the traction is.
Okay. And just kind of leave my business page alone for now, just kind of leave that and see which Facebook profile we get more traction on first.
Yeah. If you want to, you can take one of your personal page posts and post it over and share it over to your business page.
Okay.
Basically, business pages for the most part are just not, I mean, they're like, if you started, like I started mine in 2011 and like, it's pretty like big and, you know, a lot of people still engage over there. But if you just start yours pretty like in the last couple of years and it's just like not growing, just visibility on it's really, really terrible. You need it because if you ever want to run paid traffic. But, and again, it's one of those things, like if you've been posting on there and people are engaging, cool, double down on it. But if it's not getting any traction, then it's not an asset.
Got it. And so with the email, it's laura.cavallo. In English, it's salute, but in Italian, it's salute, means health. So like my IG is connected to that. All of my Google documents is connected to that. All of my like original one-on-one clients was connected to that. And there's no way to really change that. Should I wait till I set up my website and maybe get, you know, an official email like Laura Cavallo?
So you can do it right now, actually. So you guys, I know we talked about, you guys can do that right now. So I know we talked about this a little bit. If you want to grab the URL for your name or something close to your name, I think we talked about this last week, make sure you grab the URL and then you can actually grab email too at the same time. I think it's like, you know, maybe 10 bucks for the year or something to get info at, right? Or hello at whatever the URL is. And so you don't actually even have to have the website yet. You can just have the email that's associated with the URL and start using it.
Okay. And so, and then start slowly transitioning everything to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, like a year from now, you're going to want to have like one customer service hub, right? Like you're going to want to have, and it's not going to be like your Hotmail.
Right. Okay. And that's my next question is, laura-cavallo.com is available. Also Laura Cavallo Coaching is available. LauraCavallo.com is not available. So do you suggest the hyphen or do you suggest LauraCavalloCoaching.com?
The coaching one.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like that too. And then I can work
like
off
of hyphens, dots, etc. You know, like, you know, a dot, I don't know, like a dot me or a dot net isn't awful, but I think a dot com is better. But if you have LauraCavalloCoaching.com, way better.
Okay.
So remember, you're always going to be some kind of coach, right? Whether it's fitness, nutrition. I mean, some of my mastermind members went into business coaching. So like, you don't know where you're going to be in 5 years, but you'll probably be a coach still on some, in some capacity. So okay. Yeah, even if you're doing lifestyle coaching, mindset coaching, whatever. So I think that's safe.
Perfect. I'll grab that today. Next question. My, knowables, 3 to 5 knowables, only posting an IG story, or do you suggest doing like when you do one of your stories posts, like kind of be about like, you know, my dog or my crazy Italian hair or like whatever it might be, should it just be in stories or also?
I like it on the main feed too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Remember, like you can't post too much on the main feed anymore. Before, when it was chronological, it was like, oh, I don't want to like overlay, like, but honestly, people aren't seeing shit. So like more posts. So don't worry about it. Again, post and move. So if you're like, cool, I'm going to post about my like crazy Italian hair. Awesome. People are going to like, they're going to be like, oh, that's a thing, right? Like, oh my God, my hair is curly too. Like that's just how we interact on the internet. So yeah, go for it.
Okay. Next question is for one-on-one coaching. I kind of like having my weekends to myself, but I find that even for me, I like to get my week set up on Sunday, and I'm sure my clients like to do that as well. Do you suggest the best day to meet with your one-on-one clients and get them set up is a Sunday, or do you reserve that? I know you do most of your coaching on Tuesdays, but it's not always viable for someone that maybe has a 9-to-5 and is going to the gym afterwards. Like, what's the best day that you find for your one-on-ones?
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on what you want to do. Right. So like, I mean, yeah, like ideally it's like, I mean, if I was a person who was doing nutrition coaching with someone, I'd be like, I'd love to meet on a Sunday. Cause I'm like, cool. Let me get my head right for the week. Right. Let me get like, you know, prepped and ready. Like that's a huge service. So you might at the beginning, remember any, by the way, you guys, any of the deliverables that you have in your one-on-ones, like second you get a new client, you could, that shit can go out the window, right? So like you can customize the features based on where you're at. So for example, Laura might be like, maybe part of her coaching is every Sunday we do an intake call, you know, we get on the phone or we, you know, we have FaceTime, we do like a quick FaceTime to just like make sure you're all set for the week. She might have 5 clients doing that. And she's like, I don't want to do this. This sucks. Cool. When she gets her 6th client, that's not part of the package. What I have found is that our clients, if they want to work with us, they'll do whatever it is that we dictate. What I mean by that is when they come in, they don't know how coaching works, right? Maybe they've coached someone else, but like you're different. So don't assume that they have an idea in their head of what it should look like. You're the one who gets to create it. And so as long as, in my experience, just setting expectations beforehand, people get the most mad or the most disappointed when they thought they had carte blanche access to you. And then all of a sudden, like you're being like, no, I'm only available Monday through Friday, 9-to-5. And they're like, wait, I thought I could message you anytime. That was what you told me. Versus on a sales call or, you know, after you, you know, after they sign up, you can say, cool, so here's how it works. I'm available via Marco Polo Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Mondays, we're going to do an intake call. So what that means is we're going to get prepped and ready for the week, or you can decide if you want to do it on Fridays. We can do a prep, you know, Friday call for the following week. So it's up to you if you want to do it. I think it's a huge service, but you might fucking hate it. And if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But yeah, just be confident in whatever it is that you're delivering.
Okay. Yeah, no, FaceTime or some sort of like video call is going to be part of my offer. And that's my next sort of like presentation or like comment for you is I kind of broke down my offer. So it is going to be like, it's going to be video, either FaceTime or Zoom. So it's going to be sort of an hour intake and then moving forward every week for 30 minutes on Sundays, likely. Kind of check in, what's going well, what are you struggling with? This is sort of your next goal assignment for this week. And then I broke it down week one, like all of the value that this client's going to get, and they're going to get a ton in 4 weeks. And then for the next 2 months, we're just going to be focusing on those sort of tips and form for exercises, how to count your protein, like grams, macros, how to use MyFitnessPal. So it's kind of like how this is working. You're giving us everything up front, and then yeah, we're going to know everything we need to know in the first 4 months. And then those last 2 months creating kind of our offer. That's kind of how it's going to work. Yeah. First 4 weeks, all the content you need to know about nutrition, exercise form, some lifestyle stuff. And then those last 2 months, just kind of refining stuff.
Yeah. Like troubleshooting, ongoing, right? Like some of that stuff. So one of the things to think about, this brings up an interesting like pricing issue. Is oftentimes we're doing one-on-one coaching. When do we do the most work typically? In the first couple weeks, first month. Yeah. So you might want to price it on being a little bit more expensive in the first month and then a little bit less for months 2 and 3. So if you want to, for example, let's just say it's, you know, you want $600 for 3 months. That's $200 a month. You can be like first month is 300, then two payments of 150. Because we just do more, right? And people, and when do people tend to slack off or to maybe fall off the face of the earth or whatever? It's after the first month. So if you're going to do the majority, so you can do it that way too.
Okay. And do you suggest like, you know, my deliverable would be like, this is what the first 4 weeks is going to look like, but asterisk, like we're not moving on to week two until week one, until you're doing well with week one, and then week three until you're doing well with week one and two. Do you feel like it's a good idea to give them that full outline of what those 4 weeks is going to look like? Or are they going to be like, well, what the hell? Like we didn't get to all this and I paid for it, you know?
Honestly, like people don't even remember that shit. I wish they did, but they don't. Like on whatever it says on the sales page, they're like very few people are like going back to like verify that you went through everything as a coach. Like literally all of our clients care about is fucking getting results. So they don't care how they arrive at them. For us, it feels organized, and it's certainly a marketing strategy to be like, okay, here's the, you know, educational backbone of the program. Here's what you're going to learn. And that's great to have that on like an application page or to even talk about it during your sales pitch. So you can say the reason why I created it this way, this would be a sales pitch. The way I created this way is because I want you to have most of the information in the first month because I want you to know where we're going. I want you to have all the information. I want you to feel like, cool, this is totally doable. And then realize the last couple months we're together. So the first month you're going to be getting a lot of stuff. And then in months 2 and 3, we're just going to focus on implementation. Right. And the reason why is because, you know, not much changes. I want you to give the information so you know it. And that, like, so that would be how I'd position it as like a marketing kind of compelling way of talking about it. And then when it comes down to like actually implementing it, you as a coach, just see how it goes.
Okay.
Oftentimes like we have an idea in our head of what it's supposed to look like, but our client might be like all over the place, or they can't get something, or you have to move on, or you have to adjust. And so be fluid. I think it's nice to have a little bit of a, like kind of a curriculum that you can outline for them during the sales pitch. But ultimately, it's just going to be what they need.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And thank you for that. Last question. I'm just a little, not confused, but turned around, I guess. So I created the application and I put it up in my bio, and it's 8 to 10 questions, like you said. Is that different than an intake form? Like when does the intake form come? Like, is it after they've paid you and you're like, all right,
yep,
now I can create the program for you? Like, can you just go, I'm kind of like systematic with that.
So remember, application is so you get enough information from them to know how to sell them. Application is just about selling, right? So I need to know what have they tried in the past. So if that's the thing on the application, you guys, if you're like, what have you tried in the past that hasn't worked? And they list Whole30, you know, 21-day sugar diet, like what are they list all these things that they tried. You already know how to position yourself on a sales call, right? You position yourself away from all that shit that didn't work. So you're like, I see that you did all of these things and none of them worked. Well, you know, luckily my coaching is completely different than those. So that would be an insight. So the questions you ask during the application form, also questions around level of commitment. That's important, right? So you want to make sure these people are super qualified. They know it's going to be an investment of time, energy, and money. So you're pre-qualifying them so that the only people you end up getting on the phone with already know it's going to be a significant investment, right? Even, I mean, look at FBA. Like when you guys purchase FBA, like what was I telling you? I was like, it's going to be a significant investment. You were already kind of ready that like, okay, shit, this is going to be 6 months of my life. I expect you to be on the phone every week. Like, so you're doing all of that ahead of the sale. So that would be the questions you ask in the application. Then intake form is programming stuff, schedule, 3-day diet journal, right? Like all those kind of things. Once they pay, cool. Now we're off and running.
Got it.
And to answer, I forget whose question it was earlier about I forget whose question it was. Oh, someone asked about, can we email them the information we talked about on the sales call? The answer is yes. So after you get off the sales call, you are going to be like, cool, I'm going to send you an email with everything we talked about. Or if you talk to them in a DM, then you send it via DM. And you basically break down exactly what you said in the call. And then you give them the link to make their first payment. And we'll go through all of that next week.
Perfect.
In 2 weeks. Cool.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Hey, Andrea, what's up?
Hey.
Hi.
So I have a few personal questions related to what I did last week. So I launched my program and I sent an email out and like did a whole blast about it. And so I have one person who paid.
Awesome.
But so it starts in 2 weeks. So it's going to be on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. for 6 weeks. And so now that I sent the initial email today to like a bunch of people, some of the people that like contact me through DMs and other just clients I've had in the past or like whatever. So now I'm like building this up because I have almost exactly 2 weeks until the program starts and I only have one person who actually paid. So I'm like, now how do I build this up to like make it as successful as possible to really like get people in here?
Yeah. So good news is you still have 2 weeks. In my experience, a lot of people don't take action until they feel the heat. So urgency and scarcity are big motivators for people.
Okay.
There's a larger marketing conversation about like why, okay, Andrea, I'm about to give you time and money. Why should I care? Right? Like what is, you know, so a couple of things. Number one, why is your program better or different than other programs out there? That's a case that needs to be made.
Okay.
When I say that, I mean on email, social media, Instagram, these stories, right? Like you're talking about like, hey, so here's the program. The reason why I created this program is because most programs miss the mark here, here, and here, right? So like you're showing why this program is different.
Okay.
Second piece of that is, and what we haven't gotten to this yet, but we'll talk about this marketing strategy. It's called anti-marketing. But if someone does not do this program, if they don't take you up on this offer, how are they going to continue to struggle? Okay. How much worse off are they going to be? So for example, when I'm launching FBA, which is obviously a business course, like I'm like, look, I only launch this once a year. And if you wait till next year, sorry, you're more behind. That's the truth, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the reasons? Like if someone, for example, if you're trying to help people like rehab their relationship to food, for example, like, if they don't start doing this, how much more obsessed are they going to be a year from now? They might have like serious, like actual more hormonal shit that's wrong with them, right? They might have more like metabolic damage they might have if they don't start doing something now. So that's how you would position it. So that's high level marketing. Low level marketing and is just urgency and scarcity. When is it starting? How many spots do you have? Exclusivity language, which is we're going to be spending a lot of up close and personal time together. I want to make sure that you're the right person for this program. So who exactly is the right person? And then also, who is this program not for? So if I say to someone like, hey, I'm getting ready to start this program, but if you're this person, this is not for you. So when I say stuff like, you know, if you're just dabbling, not for you. If you're like someone who doesn't like, who really doesn't, you know, want to commit to something, it's not for you. Right. That even that's compelling. It's because no one wants to be someone who doesn't commit. Right. So who's it for, who's it not for? And then we're getting started. And most people, once they start to feel the heat of like, oh shit, this thing's going away. This is my last opportunity. Andrea said she doesn't know when she's running it again. Now all of a sudden you're going to get people off the fence.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. So then that makes sense for Instagram and for Facebook, but how about like sending, well, I guess the email would just be a longer version of that post.
Yep. And also your personal story. Cause I know that you're helping people with the transformation that you've overcome.
Right. So,
like, tell me like a story of struggle. Like, tell me highlight the pain points of how you felt back then and what you wish you knew back then.
Okay.
Then someone who's reading is like, holy shit, that's me right now. I need this.
Right.
Right. So the more like emotionally, like people buy through emotion, right?
Right.
They say stories, they're like stories sell, facts tell, stories sell.
Right. And detailed, obviously, we're saying as detailed as possible.
Yep.
And then, so the email that I sent out, I used, oh my God, it was so ghetto how I did it. I did it this morning, but it was like I copied and pasted because I wanted it to be perfect and I didn't have time to do like a Constant Contact or MailChimp thing. So I just like copied the body of the email and then like pasted it in the next one and then put the person's name in because I wanted it to be personal. I sent it to 22 people, I think.
Yep.
So what do you like, Constant Contact or MailChimp or like what's your favorite vehicle? So
I use AWeber and that's what I would start you guys on. And we haven't done that yet, but we will. That's what I, cause that's what all the tutorials are with. So if you have something go wrong with the other stuff, I can't help you.
Okay, cool.
What I would do is you need to follow up with those people too, right? Like that's the thing is we know that people don't reach it. So they might've got an invitation from you. You know, and this is one of my, I mean, it's not a pet peeve, but I think typically because it's our thing, we go, oh my God, it's open for enrollment. Like, and we sit back and wait for the
requests
to come in. And it's like, well, didn't you read that shit? Right. So like, you have to be like, okay, cool. I have 2 weeks. I got to get my mind right. I got to have some tenacity about me. I got to keep putting it out there. Right. So when you have 2 weeks of promotion, it's like, it's a marathon, like strap in. Right. I mean, we get excited because we like launched it, but like no one's paying attention, unfortunately, except for us.
Right. So like how many, okay. I mean, I'll see you next week, but like how many times should I hit these people with, well, social media, I know what the deal is with that. How many times should I hit them with this via email? Like 4 times?
So you're sending personal invites, right?
Yeah.
Because they're just personal at this point? Okay. So anytime you send personal invites and personal reach outs, I recommend having something about them that you can reference. So today you just did a template. That was cool. You sent everyone the same one. When you follow up, you want to make reference to something you know is happening for them. Like maybe they just got back from vacation or maybe it looks like they just, you know, were sick last week or like, what did you kind of like see from social media or whatever that you could mention in the message and just like make it a little more personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would email them probably like if it's starting in 2 weeks, I'd probably email like I would say in a week.
Okay.
Say, hey, so-and-so, just putting this back on your radar. You know, I know we worked in the past and I wanted to make sure that you saw this opportunity because I think it'd be perfect for you based on what I know, you know, where you're at with things. You know, if it's a no, totally cool, but I definitely thought of you. So remember, like, people will feel flattered oftentimes that you thought of them for this program. And so you can even say, like, you know, have an abundance mindset. You know, if it's not for you, totally cool. But I wanted to make sure that you ended up seeing this. We're getting started in a week. If you have any questions, let me know. And then I would, you know, if you still get nothing or you still get a maybe or whatever, you can follow up with people individually. Mm-hmm. But chances are, if you're blasting it out, you're probably not going to get much traction. That's why I like to make it as personal as possible.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that is... Oh, yeah. And then when you said to tag you in our post, do you just want us to tag you in the story or do you want us to tag you in, like, anything?
Anything.
I mean, I guess the more the merrier.
But... Yeah, you guys can tag me anything.
Okay.
Sometimes I miss stuff, but for the most part, I'm seeing most of it.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Oh, yeah. So I think you said this, never mention the price in the email, right? Or never mention the price at all until you talk to them on the phone or...
So what's the call to action, right? So for example, you can say like, so, you know, let me know. So for you, if you're wanting to like make sure that you want to get on the phone with people or you want to have a more of a intimate conversation about the program, you could say something like, let me know if you're interested and I'll give you all the details.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And the girl that I met with one girl in person actually, about the program. And she, when I told her the price, she was like, oh my God, that's like so not expensive. I'm so thankful that you're offering something that's like not astronomical. And so I was like, is that, so like, should I be promoting how cheap? I mean, it is rather
cheap. All relative, right? Like some people think like $10 is too expensive. So like, right. All relative. So what you could say to like subtly influence, you could say something like, you know, I wanted to make this program super affordable because like, I'm so passionate about this and I just want to get in front of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would just go to like, that would just be like, cool. How much is it?
Yeah.
So you're already putting it. So even if for someone else, it's not inexpensive, maybe it is expensive, but you've already put it that like, this is affordable. Like this is actually something you could do. They're like, oh, maybe I could do that.
Yeah. And the reason why I feel like I need to do that is because like, if I am my ideal client, I give a shit about the price. I really do. Of course. Like I really, you know, if I know what the range is and then I see that it's like, well, I'm charging $179 to $199 and it's 20% off this week, but, or that's, I don't know if that's 20%, but whatever it is. So if I know that it's affordable, I'm going to click on it. Cause I'm like, oh, cool. At least I know I can afford that. Cause it's affordable, they say. And then if it's, then you're drawn in more. So I actually feel like that would be, if my ideal client is me, then that's what I want to see.
So. Awesome. Well, what you could do is you always have time to do that, right? So if you're not sharing the price and you feel like that's keeping people from asking for more information,
yeah,
then maybe 3 or 4 days out from the end of the sale, you can start revealing the price.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good. Cool.
Thank you.
Patty, what's up?
So I DM'd you earlier about the call to action sheet with the application. Mm-hmm. So I already have a website and then I just started incorporating my online clients into Trainerize, which actually has a consultation form. Awesome. So I'm not sure where to create the form and where to put it. Do I link it with my website? Do I link it from Trainerize? Mm-hmm. What do I do?
Okay. So the application form, I would just put it so you could do a couple things. You could put what's called a landing page on your website. So that's like an info page, right? So your info page would be like, so if you go to like, for example, jillfitmastermind.com, that's a website. JillFitMastermind.com is just it's a landing page. It has all the information about my mastermind, but then there's a button to click that takes you over to a type form or a jot form. So what I would do, Patty, is have a page on your website that has the information about coaching with you, who you're looking to work with. Remember, exclusivity language. I only work with people who want to make this transformation. You do not need to have a lot of information on there. If you want to have like some testimonials or you have some screenshots from clients that are great, you can put those up there. But the point of the post is to send people to a application. So you could still do it on Typeform and have just a link over to the Typeform on that page.
Because I know some of the like WordPress websites, you can add a pop-up or like a plugin? Yes,
I wouldn't put a pop-up for an application. You could put a pop-up for an email, you know, lead you know, magnet if you wanted to. Like sign up for, you know, add your name and email to get my weekly newsletter. That could be a pop-up. I mean, they do show in research that it does convert more. Okay. But try to make it more of like a on brand. And if it looks super cheesy, then I think no.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's it.
You got it. Hey, Amy, what's up?
Hey, Jill. Hi. So this past weekend, it's been a blur, but we launched our beta test for our 5K Strong program, and we got like 30 people.
Amazing.
Awesome. Again, it's free right now. And I've already made them like give me testimonials for how they feel like before they start. And I'm going to keep sending them like survey monkeys every 2 weeks with like leading questions on like different responses that I hope to use later on for marketing purposes. And I created my first closed Facebook group, and have already asked questions and people are talking to each other. And I'm like, oh my God, it's working. It's really cool. I think my main question is, cause I'm not going to do like a one-on-one offering. Like I have my personal training clients here at home. I am not looking to like, I don't need more. I want less. Like I want to grow this, this business. I was thinking of possibly adding like an additional coaching service onto this one. Like, cause the offering, right. It's like a running and kettlebell program for people to do at home. And I want the closed Facebook group to like have a lot of, support there, but you know, and people can help answer questions and we can too, but like as it grows, people might need more accountability or more have more specific questions. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of thinking about adding on, like a potential add-on service for one-on-one extra coaching or even like accountability coaching. I'm not really sure what that would look like.
I think you're missing an opportunity if you don't have that, right? So part of why having a closed Facebook group that's free can be a good move is because you can pull one-on-one clients out of there, right? Like you're already getting their attention. So, so let's focus on adding tons of value, like, you know, adding resources, send articles, polls, asking open-ended questions. Like, let's just get the engagement super high so that when, say you want to launch something, there's already people who are interested. And so, I don't know, once every 2 months or once every 3 months, you can say, hey, you guys, I don't know if you know this, but I have this, you know, a little bit higher level accountability coaching. If you're feeling like, cause not everyone's going to need it all the time. You can say for the next month, you know, I'm opening up text message access to me, or I'm opening up like something where I've seen some of my clients do for $100, you get text message access for the month. Right. Or whatever. So you could do something like that. What's that? I think you're muted.
Sorry. I just muted myself. Okay. So that could look like that. Just text message access, accountability coaching.
And the cool thing about this, you guys, you fucking hate it. You just be like, just kidding. I'm not doing that anymore.
Right. Or like you do it for the month or whatever.
And like, you're like, okay, I'll just, and I did it and like, I hated it and I'm never going to do it again. But like, that's the thing is I do think it's a missed opportunity, especially if you have a community and you're not giving them a different offer or a higher ticket offer. Cause that's the thing is like, some people just want more access. Some people want more customization. They want to talk to someone. So yeah, I would focus on just making that group like a thriving community where people like love hanging out.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. You can put any offer in there.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. I think that's it.
Beta. You said it's, there's a race in March.
Yeah. So it's 9 weeks. It's okay. 9 weeks.
Cool.
So my goal is really just to get as many people that have signed up to like do the whole thing and like actually get to the start line. Like I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to be doing like Facebook lives in there. Like I'm just going to do all the stuff I can.
Okay. Awesome. Just give a ton of value. You get a ton of awesome case studies.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. Thank you.
So this is a good, excuse me, geez. Example of, and we haven't talked about this yet, but we are doing a module on beta testing. So if you're like in a position where you're like, you know what, Jill, I don't have any fucking clients and like, I just want to get clinical experience. You can open up beta testing to be like, I'm just working with 5 women for the next 4 weeks. And all you'll do is give them as much value, as much coaching as you possibly can. But in exchange, they need to check in. They need to give you testimonials. They need to, you know, like give you feedback on stuff. You can have people purchase maybe at like 50% off or something. That's one way of doing it. Or Amy's doing hers for free. I think people tend to pay attention if they pay a little bit, even that they feel invested. So there's beta testing that is free, and then there's beta testing that's at a discount. But they already know, like, hey, I'm gonna be testing out these ideas with you. I'm gonna be asking for your feedback, and I'm also gonna be asking for you to provide testimonial, case study, etc., for the program itself. Because then, if you can get, like, I don't know, even if Amy can get, 5 to 10 fucking killer testimonials, that will sell the program like the next time she runs it, right, at full price. So we haven't talked about that, but we will get to it. Hey, Kim, what's up?
So I have a few questions. So I feel good about my one-on-one offer, what I'm going to be offering, but it's kind of like I work a regular corporate job. I'm not in the fitness industry. I'm not in like the nutrition industry. So I don't have any clients yet besides my husband. So it's kind of like I'm ready to take on clients, but they're just not out there.
Okay. So you feel like you have an offer. Are you sending people to the application?
Yeah, so when we had talked about this the last time, we had talked about doing a beta testing for group coaching, and I had set a date. Originally, I was like, I announced it, and I was like, okay, great. But it wasn't until I heard the last call, I wasn't able to make that one to actually kind of talk about it on a daily basis. So I set a date for January 28th when I'll be launching that group program for the beta testing. But I just haven't heard like a whole bunch of from anyone really.
Awesome. So one of the things, again, when we're promoting something, especially if you have a smaller audience, we can't like blast it out and like wait for people to come in. I would definitely send out personal invites.
What do you mean by personal invites?
So make a list of like, I don't know, 20 to 30 people that you've either had a conversation with, that are super fans, that comment on stuff, that you've had, conversation in DM with. Maybe, people that you know that really could use this, or like just any sort of like interaction that you've had with people, and reach out in a DM capacity. Again, most people open up those and just be like, hey, so-and-so, I wanted to run something by you. I'm actually doing a beta test for a program that's all about this, this, and this. And based on our conversations and interactions, I thought that this would be a perfect fit for you. I thought of you. Let me know if you're interested in like helping me out with something, and I'll give you all the details.
Okay.
So something like that, I think a lot of this, I mean, that's the thing is like, getting like 5 people to sign up for a beta, 5 to 10 people would be great. Cause then you're just like, cool, I'm just going to get as many results as I can, testimonials, case studies, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes like, again, blasting it out, we have an attention problem. People aren't reading anything, and an audience issue. So if you do have a smaller audience, you just need more people. And we'll talk about how to like grow your audience, obviously. Especially like paid traffic stuff and whatever. Organic growth is a little bit tough, but you do have people in your audience right now that need it.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of my audience is more on like the amenorrhea side, coming from YouTube, which is not exactly my ideal client. So I feel like that's part of the problem too right now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like someone who maybe loses their period also struggles with this food issue, this exercise overtraining issue, like, So could it, even if they found you because they lost their period, might they also?
I think we could. I was going to do some macro coaching, and I just wouldn't want to put on a woman that had lost her period on any sort of restricted program as far as calorie.
Cool. I think you can navigate that on an individual level.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, what are your thoughts on doing things like a lower item, like nutrition audit or something like that? So you have your bigger high ticket pricing thing, and then you do like a one-time nutrition audit for a lower price.
Yeah, I think that's great. So I think about it this way. So you guys have heard the like parable that's like, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach him to fish, he eats forever. So something like that, what Kim's talking about, like a little like one-time diet offer or audit or something, is kind of like a big fish. It's between the two. Right. So the idea is hey, you know, let's get on the phone one time. We'll do a complete intake of where you're at. And then I'm just going to give you, it's essentially a coaching call, right? It's just like, hey, you're going to pay me for this thing. I'm going to give you some tools, some strategies, and then I'm going to see you later. What you could also do, and what's common practice, is at the end of the time they pay for. So for example, say they pay for 30 minutes of your time or an hour of your time, you upsell them or prescribe another way to work with you. So you can say, cool. So like, hopefully this gave you some insight into like where I'd like for you to take things. At this point, I do believe that there's some benefit in us continuing to work together, even if it's just getting on the phone once a month for the next 3 months. Would you be open to me sharing, you know, how that might look? And if you spend an hour with them, giving them like everything in your brain and making them feel super understood, they're going to be like, cool, how can we do this again? This is amazing, right? So use that time to prescribe what you think the next step might be for them. Okay. So yeah, it is, in other words, like, so to answer your question, it's a good like first low risk step because they're not committing to 3 months. They're not committing to something super high ticket. Right. So you can be like, cool, I have, you know, I have 5 spots for diet audits this month. Do you want?
Just one last question about the form as far as like an auto response. If I have something already set up as far as a calendar, should I include that link in the auto response to the application that they fill out?
Yep. Okay. So even better if you could put it on the submission page. So for example, they click submit and then they get rerouted to a thank you page. Like, okay, received your thing. If you can put a link to your Calendly or whatever you're using for a calendar, if you can put that on, or you can put it in the follow-up message.
Okay. Yep. Perfect. Thank you.
Cool. Who next? I love Cam's cat. I just saw like walking across the screen. It was so cute. Hey, Leanne, what's up? Want to unmute? There you go.
Yeah. It's always weird. Like, am I talking too loud?
Nope.
Can you hear me? Okay. Because I really can't hear myself. I first wanted to make a comment because I've been in like the one-on-one business for like over 20 years now. And I left a corporate job to do fitness full-time. So I had a very scarcity mindset. And I never named it until you started talking about it in like Ready, Aim, Fire. So when you leave a corporate job to do fitness full time, you're always like, and I knew I didn't want to work at a gym. So because I was battling a stomach disease and I was stressed from my marketing job. And so I felt like, okay, I'm passionate about fitness. I'm going to do this full time because I want to be able to pick and choose the energy that I'm around. So when I started to do that, I had this real scarcity mindset. So when I set my rates privately, they were super like low. And then I stuck with that rate forever. And then last year, the gym that I was renting space from, the guy was a real asshole. And so I got shook up and I stayed 4 years way too long. And he was such a bully. But I was so scared and I was stuck in this scarcity. Like, I can't leave this gym because I have all my clients and they're settled and they joined his gym and all this. But we had a big blow up and it forced me to leave and get uncomfortable. And then Ready, Aim, Fire came up. And then I was like, okay, this is the sign of the universe. Like, I have to do this. And then FDA came up and I'm like, I got to do this. So now I'm at a new spot and it's super good energy. But what I realize now is it, also with your teaching is that if people start questioning me about price and negotiating, like I'm at the point where now, like I tell them that it's not for them because I really realize that my ideal client is somebody that has a good amount of discretionary income to do this with me. So even though it's hard and I have to turn away and it's so hard, like I'll get emails and they'll be like, well, what is your rate? And I want 3 times a week and I stick to my guns on my rate and they come back with the, well, that's way too expensive. Instead of emailing them back and being like, well, I could do this and I could do that through like learning from you. Yeah. I just kind of hold my line because yeah. I'm like, okay, well then this is not my ideal client. Because if they can't even, if they're price focused first, then they're not, their priority is not really their health and their wellness, right? And what helped me too was with my gym owner, when I went to him, his rate was like double my rate. And he's like, man, you got to raise your rate. And I'm like, oh my God, no, but all my clients are going to say it's so expensive. And, da, 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 da. And he's like, well, then you're never going to be able to like grow or progress to do all the other things you want to do. So he helped me too, just getting the confidence that like your clients that are long-term and loyal, it's not about money. And like you said, it's not about the coaching, it's about the person. So I just wanted to say that. So when we did Ready, Aim, Fire, I came up with an offer. I was still in the scarcity mindset for Black Friday. And I just want to throw this out there for everybody else who's creating their offer now and asking about prices and stuff. Because I'm in marketing and I thought I really like priced it good, but it was like Black Friday. And I think I got on this whole thing where I was like, okay, learn from Jill. Like, it's either a month, every month, it's a 3 month minimum. And it's either like every month it's $200 a month. Or if you do the one-time payment for 3 months, it's $450. Okay. Sounds good. But I gave them one free personal training session a week and one 30 minute coaching call session a week. And now as I'm going through it, it's way fucking too much. Like, I just want to tell everybody who's creating their offer, like, because you don't think about it. And then my husband was like, what the hell? Did you like run the numbers about like how much you're getting paid per hour? And it comes out to like $25 an hour right now.
Right.
So I'm bummed, but I knew I had to like go through the experience. And luckily, like only one person signed up, and she's actually like a former client who's now like busy with two young kids. So she's traditionally at home. So I was kind of able to finagle it where it's costing me more time because I'm trying to, you know, like if I'm giving her a personal training session, I don't want to incur gym rent on her because I'm only making $25. My gym rent is $25. So I'll go to her house or whatever. Right. So I just want to let, like, as my experience, let people know that when you craft your offer, like, I still, like, the whole thing was I was in scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have, if I was in this point now that I am, it would have been way different.
I think this is a good lesson, though. I mean, it's a good lesson. There's been many times that I've done that I've just, like, literally pulled an offer out of my ass and been like, here's it. And then halfway through, I'm like, oh, this is the wrong decision. And then you learn, right? And right. Especially for some, like for Leanne, like you have a track record that you're a good trainer. There's no reason why you shouldn't be charging top dollar. So when a client comes back and is like, that's too, and this happens to me all the time. You know, that's just not what I wanted to spend. It's a little bit too expensive. I've had people like literally right after I increased my prices say, I would have paid the old price. And I'm like, well, it's not. Like I could have easily been like, okay, we'll go back to old pricing. Like I literally changed the pricing like 2 days ago, but it's an energetic thing. So to reiterate what you said, when someone says, oh, that's a little bit too expensive, there's power in you coming back and saying, cool, I totally understand. It's not an insignificant investment. Totally get it. Let me know if anything changes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, cause that's the thing is like, it's attractive and we don't want the cheapest person.
Right.
We want the best. And if you can charge that and you also act like you don't need me, there's something really attractive about that. So I think holding the line is extremely important. How many
people
feel a little bit of that shift? I mean, it's easy to slip into scarcity. Like it's super easy to slip into scarcity of like, well, I'll just, you know, make my prices cheaper and I'll get more people. And I have not seen that necessarily be the case. They've actually
We took a hit like when Groupon came. I don't know about if the other markets, but in Hawaii, like, oh my God, it was like every trainer, every fitness person was running a Groupon.
Yeah.
And then it was like everybody was trying to lowball independent trainers because they're like, well, I can go get training over here for like literally $5.
Right.
A session.
Oh yeah, I think Groupon is over. I think people learn the hard way with Groupon.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned to me that I should like really look at the GI stuff, right? When we had our business call, that I should focus on the GI stuff. So I made my announcement today. I wrote a blog, so I'm gonna post it on my main feed. Just kind of asking, like putting it out there, like looking for people who may be experiencing the same, and kind of like bullet pointing the points or whatever.
Yep.
So like now, what should I do? Just keep rolling with that.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the thing is like, we're going to feel like a broken record because we're like, I'm talking about this all the time. But again, people aren't seeing anything. Like 10% of our audience maybe is seeing our content. So we have to be the one saying in a bunch of different ways. So Leanne, if you're doing like, you know, the under the umbrella of GI dysfunction, right? You can talk about all the different kinds of things. Some of the stuff that we talked about in your call that came out was like,
right.
We made that list of pain points.
Right. I have it.
That are like counterintuitive. The only things that you would actually know if you were experiencing that, right? For someone who's not experiencing GI dysfunction, they're like, oh, I didn't even think that you'd be stressed about having to find a bathroom or whatever, right? So like, if you can speak
right
to those unique challenges of that person, holy shit, you'll be in.
Okay, so the next question. So I'm thinking about like my at whatever. So if I want to go like with the acronym GUT something,
yep.
Is that like when people read the acronym, because I don't know if I can get it, do they have to specifically know like it's GI? Because I don't really know if I can work it with GUT, but I was thinking of, and I'm still brainstorming, but like getting under tummy something situations or mm-hmm. or goals using tummy solution or something, but do you think that's too like scary, like airy fairy?
No, I think it's fine. Remember, your acronym or whatever system you put together, it's only as good as the education that you provide with it, right? So if I'm like, hey, moderation 365, people are like, cool, what is that? And then I teach it, right? So for you, your acronym or your system or your framework or whatever can be like the five S's or the three E's or whatever it is you need. It's only as good as the extent to which you educate people on it. So what is it, right? Under each one of these three main pillars, this is how we do it, right? So,
got it.
Yeah, so it can be GUT, it can be, you know, but it doesn't have to be something like that ties in that well. You know, it can be like, can be food, it can be health, it can be like anything, you know, so long as you define it.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. Cool. Who's up?
Can I go next?
Yep. Hey, Tara, what's up?
Hey, sorry, I'm driving, so I took the video off.
No worries.
But okay, so I've been nutrition coaching for about 2 years now. And I most recently switched up my packages in a sense where I don't do bi-weekly calls anymore. I just do email check-ins. And if they need me, they can get in touch with me via email or just text me if it's urgent.
Cool.
And I found that this works best for me because eventually, you know, when I get more clients, I'll be able to have 50 clients without having to do calls.
Yep.
And a lot of times, you'll start to realize that these clients, they just want a friend. They just want someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or that's what I've been experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. Like, I mean, it speaks right to the level of trust that you've been able to generate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just going back to what the last girl said, you know, in terms of having like clients, I think it's important to like get on the phone, talk to people, and then kind of see what they're looking for mm-hmm. and then be upfront with what you're offering.
Love it. I think that's the thing is like you've had this, and I like that you brought up that you don't do calls because I don't know that you have to do calls, right? So like whatever you feel like one thing might consider, what's the way that your client likes to work, right? So you might have someone who's in the like 50 to 60 year old demographic. And they're like, I prefer email. And you're like, cool, we can do email, right? So you get to decide like what you want it to look like. And I agree with, you know, Tara, I don't think that you have to always do phone calls. I mean, FaceTime is great, you know, but I think text message access or most of my clients use Voxer, which is just a voice text app. Marco Polo is great because it keeps all your videos. So that's great. So you can actually go back and like rewatch stuff. You just have to have some boundaries around that, right? We don't want to get a voice text that's like 10 minutes long. Anything else, Tara?
Yeah.
Hi. That's it? Cool. Love it. Anyone else? Who else we got? Who wants to go? Hey, Jessica, what's up?
Hey, my ideal client that I've worked with in the past is kind of like my in-person clients. And so I'm trying to break out of that age range specifically. So for my coaching, I'm looking for like someone 30 to 45, sick of dieting, experience with workouts and wants to get fast workouts, mm-hmm. less than 45 minutes. And so I coach people similar to this, but I'm also wanting to add in limiting or stopping drinking alcohol into my next challenge. So like I'm thinking of a beta test, and my question, I guess, I think I want to do 4 weeks. What kind of pricing would you recommend for some, you know, because I'm not really like, I am the expert because I've been doing it for, a couple months, but like I haven't coached anyone on it. And I don't want to have people think like, you know, I'm a therapist, so I don't.
Right.
I think with that.
Yeah. You're not like an addiction specialist. Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah. So, okay, it's cool. So that I would just be super open about that and just say that, you know, this is a direction I'm taking my business in. So I want to run a beta test to get feedback on how things are going. Here's what it looks like. And so if it's workouts, if it's nutrition coaching, and there's a sobriety aspect to it, to me, that's a great opportunity switch. I'm like, cool. Cause there are a lot of people who are like, you know what? Like I would like to try to be dry for the next, 4 weeks and see how that goes. I think sometimes people maybe feel a little overwhelmed if it's maybe longer than 4 weeks, like, oh my God, I don't trust myself. Right. I can.
Yeah.
So how would you price it? Or was that what the question was?
Oh, well, like what the pricing is, like a good pricing for a beta testing and about how many, like, I think I'm comfortable with like 6 to 8.
Cool.
No more than that probably, but.
So you want to make sure at any time we're doing beta testing, number one, most important thing is get them results, right? Get them results. So I like that you're keeping it small. Typically for beta testing, we do about 50% off. So how much would it be, for example, industry standard for one-on-one coaching is probably $150 to $500 a month. Mm-hmm. So for you, let's just say it's $200 a month, but you want to give it to them for $100, right? And it's and in exchange for the discount, they promise to give consistent check-ins, to give feedback, to, you know, send you, you know, text message, like whatever it is that you need to, like provide testimonials, provide case studies. But I can say if it's going to be 4 weeks, let's go all in on like, mm-hmm. I don't even care if you do it for free, but I'd rather you charge something because I think they'll pay attention more if they feel invested.
Yeah. I was thinking 75. So 100 isn't that much off. So yeah.
Yeah. So you can say this is 50% off. And the reason is because I'm going to be testing out some new protocols. And so position it as like, hey, you guys, I have this thing I could really use your help with. There needs, and you can even say there is an investment because I want you to feel invested in the process. And I'm going to be requiring feedback, but this program, when I eventually launch, is going to be $200 a month.
Okay.
Show them that you're going to be the discount.
And so far I've been running everything through my like business website, business Instagram, mm-hmm. and even running everything through Mindbody because that's who I use for scheduling and all the credit cards on my business. Like, would you recommend separating those two things? I know we talked about this at Boss Up a little bit. Mm-hmm. It is a little intimidating to me to have multiple accounts, so I haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, you know, I'm training men and all ages at my mm-hmm. center, and so I'd like to know your thoughts.
So you have a business for your in-person studio, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I own a personal training studio.
Is that a personal Instagram? Is it like Jessica's personal training studio?
It's Trivergence Training. Yeah. So I have a personal, but I actually deleted everyone off of it. I just keep it for the photos now. So,
okay. Yeah, you're going to need something that has your face for sure. And I know that your Instagram does have your face, but I still am like, oh, it's Trivergence Training, right? I'm not like, it's Jessica.
Right.
So what would happen if you just literally change the name of your current account to your name?
Maybe people can find my gym that are local, possibly. But I also do a lot of advertising for my gym on there, like class times,
mm-hmm.
all of it.
Yeah.
Then different instructors.
And you're going to want a separate one for your online stuff. So remember, in person, again, you're at the mercy of the local market, right? So you're kind of taking whoever comes in, and especially stuff like updating class schedules and shit like that. And people know to come to that account for that, you want to start a separate one and tell people what it's going to be about. And they need to feel different. So if you're sharing a lot of like strategies and solutions and stuff on your studio account, you need to put that on your other account, your personal account now, and keep the studio one just for gym stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it is tough, but like, I mean, I think about it this way, it's a different demographic, right? So for example, you know, your gym could maybe even eventually live on without you, right? Like you want to think about that way. So then that requires a different account. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of different accounts. The reason why I have Moderation 365 as a different account is because I want that to eventually become a nutrition community that doesn't, I'm not the face of. So for you, Trivergence Training could eventually be something on its own that you're not the face of. But when you're online coaching, you need to have something where people can identify a face and that the content feels distinctly different. So yes, I would probably have both accounts.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can get people over to that account, but tell them what they're going to get, right? Over at my new account, I'm going to be sharing this, this, and this. And then what you can do is if you're sharing stuff onto your new account under your name, you can share those posts over to the stories of Trivergence Training.
Mm-hmm. And
get people over there. That's what I did with moderation. I was just like, I'm trying to get everyone to use my main account to get people over to the new account.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot, but.
It is. And I mean, not that I have a ton of followers, but like, I'm just, you know, whenever you start a new account, it's like you have to start all over. So.
But, you know, you'll get qualified people, right? That's the thing is, yes,
that's right.
You have less followers, but they're going to know what they're going to get, and they're going to be there for a specific thing, which is right. Not the gym.
Right.
Yeah. I get it. Cool.
Thank you. No, that's it.
Cool. I love the idea of adding the sobriety thing in. And you can even say, hey, I'm not like an addiction specialist. I'm not a therapist. But I know that there's a lot of people who are like casually drinking that probably just want to drink a little bit less.
Right. Well, we just did a challenge with my clients over the holidays, and like that was the number one killer. Of course, it was over Christmas, but like, and in my gym, you know, I see so many people struggle with it. So,
totally,
we'll see how it goes.
And that's the thing is, you know, if you can even get people cutting back a little bit, that's a service,
right? Right,
and not making it so much of a habit. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a good one. Cool. Anyone else? Okay, I see a lot of people jumping off. Hitting the 2-hour mark. Anyone else? Awesome. Good news is we meet every week. So I get to see you guys in a week and you guys can update me on stuff. And again, I think I mentioned this the first call. Like, don't feel like you have to like get every single question answered all the time. What I want you guys doing, super simple. I want you watching the tutorials. I want you implementing. And if you're doing something in your business that like is different than the track we're on, that's when you can ask a question, right? Like, who was it? Gretchen or whatever, who was like launching your program. It's like, cool. Like, okay, we need to, she's doing that right now, even though we haven't gotten to that part of the curriculum yet, but you guys can obviously ask any question that is going on in your business right now, even if it's off topic from what we're doing. But if you're like, cool, Jill, I'm a clean slate. I just want you following the curriculum and implementing. Good. And again, you should never be like, what else can I do? Because you know what else you could do. You could fucking post more, right? Just more content, more content, more content. You can do as much of that as you want, and it all goes into the collective. Okay. Awesome. I'm excited. Love seeing your faces. Thanks for hanging out with me. And I will get this recording to you guys tomorrow. Implement. Next week, I'll be asking you to make sure you did your homework, and then we'll keep moving from there. Good. We're going to get into some sales conversations, which I'm excited about. Good. All righty. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.